In this session, we're going to talk about programming your mind for success. We know from the earlier sessions that we become what we think about, and that everything that we are right now, this moment, today, is the sum total result of everything that we have thought to this period. We also know that everything we are or ever will become will come as a result of the content of our minds, that we do not achieve our destinies or realize our futures through physical effort at all. It's always through what we do with our minds. And that everything that we do to improve the quality of our thinking must, by extension, improve the quality of our lives. So let's just briefly recap some of the mental laws that we have talked about up to now, and then mention two more plus two factors which are critically important to reprogramming our minds. The first law was the law of belief that simply said that whatever we believe with feeling becomes our reality. That if we wish to change our realities, we must change our beliefs about ourselves in relation to reality. That if we have self-limiting beliefs, they come true for us irrespective of whether or not they are based on fact or fiction. The second law that we talked about was the law of expectation that says whatever we expect with confidence becomes our own self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's why it is absolutely essential that we continually expect the best of ourselves and expect the best of every situation. We find that the most successful men and women make a habit of developing positive self-expectancy. They are continually manufacturing their own expectations to keep themselves positive and to keep their self-fulfilling prophecies consistent with what they want to accomplish rather than with what they fear. The third law that we talked about is the law of attraction that says that we inevitably attract into our lives the people and circumstances that harmonize with our dominant thoughts, and that if we want to attract different people and different circumstances, we have to change our thinking, that our thoughts are like a form of electromagnetic energy that radiate out from us and that attract back to us like a magnet those people and those circumstances that harmonize with them. The third law that we talked about is the law of concentration. Now, concentration is extremely important. It says that whatever you dwell upon in the conscious mind grows in your experience. It's as though your thoughts were watered and fertilized by continual concentration. If you want to grow a plant, it requires fertilizer, water, and nutrition and weeding. If you want to grow something in your life, it requires concentrating on that thought or picture until it comes into your reality. The next law that we talked about is the law of substitution, which says that the conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, either positive or negative. If we wish to have positive experiences in our lives, we have to keep our conscious mind focused on positive things, positive events, positive circumstances. In James Allen's wonderful book, As a Man Thinketh, he says that the mind is very much like a garden. And like a garden, either weeds or flowers will grow. But if you do not deliberately and consciously and purposefully plant flowers, weeds will grow automatically. Weeds do not need any encouragement. Weeds do not need any nutrition. They do not need any fertilizer. They do not even need weeding, if you like. Weeds just grow automatically, which is to say that our minds will tend to be occupied with worries and fears and anxieties unless we consciously and deliberately fill them with thoughts. Like a vacuum, the mind will not remain empty for any period of time unless we consciously fill them with thoughts consistent with the people that we want to be, with the characteristics and attributes that we want to have, then what we'll have is weeds. And the reason why most people are so unhappy in life is that their minds are full of weeds. It's as simple as that. The two factors that are important are thought and feeling. Feeling is, if you like, the activating process of mind, that each thought that we wish to bring into our reality must be charged or activated by an emotion. An emotion of desire, an emotion of love, an emotion of excitement. But a thought without a feeling does not generate a reaction in our lives. A feeling without a thought does not generate a direction. So thought and feeling must be mixed. The next law is what we call the law of practice or the law of repetition. We know that if we wish to develop a motor skill or a mechanical skill, if we wish to learn how to type or to play tennis or to ski or to do anything that requires our physical body, in order to do it, we have to first learn the skill, and then we have to practice it over and over and over again until it becomes automatic. Every single attitude or thought or value that we have is a habit pattern of thought, either positive or negative. And if we wish to change from negative habit patterns to positive habit patterns, we have to practice the positive ones over and over again. If we wish to see ourselves and think about ourselves as positive, constructive, achievement-oriented, forward-looking individuals, we have to think about ourselves and dwell on ourselves as being that type of person all the time. By doing that over and over again, that's how we practice until it becomes a habit. Positive people do not have to remind themselves to be positive when they get up in the morning. Positive people are positive because they have thought positively for so long, it's a natural habit for them to be positive. It's a habit for them to be optimistic. It's a habit for them to look for the good in each situation. It's a habit for them to respond positively to other people. They don't have to make any effort. They have done it over and over again until it is an automatic response. And our entire future is dependent upon the habits we form, especially the habit patterns of mind. As they say, form good habits and make them your masters. And finally, the law of relaxation. The law of relaxation says, quite simply, that in all mental working, effort defeats itself. Now, in physical working, if we wish to chop a piece of wood or hammer a nail into a block of wood, the harder we hit, the faster we chop the wood, the faster we drive the nail in. So we know that in the physical world, the more exertion we put in, the harder we work, the more we put our shoulder to it, the better results we get. In the mental world, though, it is exactly the opposite, and this is an absolutely critical distinction. It is the harder that we don't try, the faster our minds change and we become the people that we want to become. The more we just relax and confidently believe and expect that the things that we want will come into our life when we are ready for them, the more rapidly they come in. The harder we work, the harder we push, the less success we have. And if we try to make things happen out of their due time, invariably we precipitate a crisis in our lives. If we try to make things happen too fast or too slow, especially in mental working, we will cause enormous stress and chaos in our lives. So the answer is just to relax, to confidently believe, to think about, to concentrate on what we want to happen, to keep our minds focused on where we want to go, and just confidently expect that exactly when we are ready, what we want will come to us. We're going to talk about the process of changing our thoughts, the different things that we can do to change our thoughts and our habit patterns, our mental habit patterns, from negative to positive. We know that we always earn a living in a manner consistent with our self-concept. We know that we always behave in a manner consistent with our self-concept. We know that all of our performance is linked to our self-concept up to this moment. We also know, wonderfully enough, that every human being is in a continual state of becoming. As a matter of fact, there is a sub-branch of psychology called the psychology of becoming. The psychology of becoming simply says that nobody stays the same for any period of time. We're continually evolving and growing as human beings and becoming more and better and different, and that we are always changing in the direction of our ideal self. We are always changing in the direction of our dominant thoughts and our dominant goals. Our job in this process is to keep very clearly in our minds the people we would like to be and the goals we would like to accomplish. And as we do that, we begin to move irrevocably toward them, just like a rocket ship moves toward a distant star and then becomes attracted by the gravity of that star and moves faster and faster on the way toward it. There are two habits of mind which we must carefully avoid if we are going to continue to grow and evolve toward the full development of our potential. And the first is what is called homeostasis. Homeostasis is the condition of clinging to the status quo. It's the unwillingness to let go of the past. It's the desire to keep things exactly the way they are, because we know that the whole idea of change is scary, and many people, rather than allowing themselves to go with the flow and to change and evolve and grow and become more fulfilled human beings, will rigidly dig in their heels and hold back the future and keep their minds rigidly fixed on what they are and where they are today and not advance at all. So in order to change our self-concept, one of the first things that we learn is that we must be willing to let go of the old person and to become the new person and to make efforts in that direction. The second malady that we must avoid is what is called psychosclerosis. Psychosclerosis is a hardening of the attitudes. Psychosclerosis is a case that sets in when we become rigid in our thinking. We become inflexible and we become dogmatic, and we will not allow any kind of a change into our lives. We again dig in our heels mentally, and we try to hold back the tide. These two, psychosclerosis and homeostasis, or what is called the homeostatic impulse, the refusal to change, hold us back, but all they do is they hold us in our rigid older selves, and they prohibit our growth. In order to continue growing, we have to let go. We have to decide to change our minds by developing new habit patterns of thinking about ourselves. Developing new habit patterns of thought is not that difficult. It only takes something like 10 to 21 days to develop brand new habit patterns of thought. And we do it by thinking and talking and acting continuously in the manner consistent with the person we would like to be, with the attributes and characteristics we would like to have. There are several techniques that we can use in terms of moving toward our ideal person. First of all, we have to form a clear mental picture of how we would be and how we would behave with the new characteristics and attributes. If, for instance, we want to be more patient and kind and loving with our families, then we get a very clear picture of ourselves as patient and kind and loving. And we see that picture and we use that as our directional mechanism or our source of direction, a homing beam that we focus in on and try to keep in a straight line with. Also, if, for instance, we want to develop leadership ability, or we want to develop the ability to make decisions, or we want to develop greater self-confidence, then we begin to think about ourselves as though we already had those qualities and characteristics. We begin to look at other people and think of other people who have those qualities and characteristics and see us acting that way. As we begin to do that, we begin to change our self-image by replacing the picture that we have in our mind of the individual with the negative habit pattern with a new picture of ourselves with the positive habit pattern we wish to develop. This, by the way, is the way we develop all new habit patterns of thought, by continually thinking of ourselves in terms of the new characteristics, the new qualities, the new abilities, and no longer thinking of ourselves as having the limited qualities and the limited characteristics. There are three methods that we can use to accelerate this process of personal development. The first is what is called affirmation. And using affirmations, positive, present tense, personal affirmations, our potential is literally unlimited. Affirmations are positive, assertive statements that say yes to our potential. And the affirmations that we've talked about up to now are affirmations like, I like myself, I am responsible, I feel terrific, I am decisive, or I earn $30,000 a year. It's repeating these affirmations over and over again, strongly, with feeling, with confidence, with belief, with enthusiasm, that drives them deep into the subconscious, which brings us to an additional law, which is called the law of subconscious activity. And the law of subconscious activity simply says that whatever the conscious mind believes and accepts, the subconscious mind immediately goes to work to bring into our physical reality. The subconscious mind is a mechanical agent that acts and obeys our instructions, and our instructions are always the content of our conscious mind. Clint Eastwood starred in a movie called Firefox. It was quite a remarkable picture, and the plot of the movie was that the Russians had developed a supersonic jet fighter that was so advanced that it could be controlled by the thoughts of the pilot, and the pilot could think the plane up or down or sideways. It could think the plane into firing or discharging or taking evasive action. And at the critical moment in the movie, Clint Eastwood has to remember to think in Russian because the plane is programmed only to receive thoughts in Russian. Now, when we think of a technological marvel like that, we know that it is only the stuff of science fiction, that it'll never be possible for a person to use simple thought power to direct a supersonic plane or any technological marvel. Yet, we are exactly the same way in that our lives are directed either up or down or sideways or in any direction by the content and the quality of our thoughts on an ongoing basis. That whatever we think in our mind, we begin immediately to move our mind toward. It's the same as when you are sitting driving down the street in an automobile with your hands on the wheel. If you turn the wheel sharply to the right or the left, you'll go to the right or the left. If you are driving through your life, as you turn your thoughts sharply to the right or the left, your life and your experiences will tend to go in that direction also. Our thoughts have inordinate power, and not only that, our thoughts have a powerful impact on the people around us for ways and reasons that we simply do not understand yet, but our thoughts have a kind of magnetic energy that actually causes changes in the behavior and the performance of other people around us. So thoughts are things, if you like. Thoughts are very, very powerful. Using affirmations, and you can create affirmations for anything that you want to accomplish. Using affirmations means our future is absolutely unlimited. And so what we have to do is we have to keep talking to ourselves. If we want to increase our income, we have to keep talking to ourselves as though we had that income already. We have to keep saying, I have, or I earned $30,000 a year. I earned $30,000 a year. Affirmations, in order to be accepted by the subconscious, have to be couched in the three P's. First of all, they have to be personal. It has to be I. We cannot say you or somebody else. We always have to talk in the first person singular. I like myself. Second of all, they have to be positive. If we wish to quit smoking, we would not say, I will not smoke anymore. I will not smoke anymore, because the subconscious cannot take in an instruction that includes a negative. So what we would say instead is, I am a non-smoker. I am a non-smoker. I am a non-smoker. We wouldn't say, I don't eat desserts anymore. I don't eat desserts anymore. What we would say is, I only eat foods that are healthy and consistent with a slim, trim figure. The third P is that it must be in the present tense. We cannot say, I will earn X number of dollars next year, or I will lose X number of pounds over the next 90 days, because the subconscious cannot relate to information that is couched in any other tense but the now. So every affirmation that we make and every clear statement that we make to ourselves has to be in the present. I do, I am, I have, I achieve, I earn, and it has to be present and it has to be personal. With regard to affirmations, when we write out our goals and rewrite our goals, we also write them as though they existed right now. We write them as though they existed in the present moment rather than at some future time. The second way that we program our minds is by using what we call visualization. Visualization is the most powerful single capability that the human being has, and it is the ability to form a clear, precise, vivid mental picture of the things that we want to be, have, or do, and to hold that picture very, very clearly in our minds. Whatever you can hold in your mind on a continuous basis, you can be, have, or do. Whatever you can picture in your imagination, you can accomplish. Napoleon Hill said many years ago, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And even Einstein said that your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions. And we have taught people to use visualization to heal sick bodies, to achieve higher levels of income, to achieve promotions, to develop new habit patterns of self-confidence and personal power and enthusiasm. The key to using visualization is to get a clear mental picture of yourself as though you already had the characteristics and attributes that you want. Prior to every situation of importance, take a couple of minutes to play a clear mental picture of the ideal you in the upcoming situation. If you're going into a sales interview, if you are going in to see your boss, if you're holding a party, if you're giving a talk, anything that requires mental preparation that you want to be at your very best at, stop for a few seconds and even a few minutes prior to the situation and form a clear mental picture of yourself performing at your very best in that situation, and then see the ideal result in your mind's eye. See a clear, precise picture of the situation coming out exactly the way you wanted it to come out, exactly the ideal result. We often teach salespeople to use this method, and we tell them that when you visualize a successful sales interview, don't just simply visualize a pleasant process of exchange between you and the prospect, but actually get a picture of the prospect signing the contract, signing the order, signing the check, and closing the transaction, because that's the ideal result that you want. There's the story of the two salesmen who come back to the office at the end of the day, and one says to the other, boy, I sure had a lot of good interviews today. And the other one says, yeah, I didn't sell anything either. The importance of this is that the visualization is not to be used to have good interviews. The visualization is to be used to close good sales transactions. If you're going to use this for public speaking, get a very clear picture of the audience responding to you positively and then applauding happily at the end of your talk, cheering, even visualize them giving you a standing ovation, if you like, because that is the result that you want from the talk. You don't want the audience to sit there and smile, but you want them at the end of the talk to give you a very, very strong round of applause, indicating that you have given an excellent talk. And you'll find if that's your visualization, and if you happen to be in the entertainment industry, it's exactly the same thing. You must visualize your audience really, really enjoying seeing you or hearing you entertain. The third technique that we use is to act the part of the person that we would like to be with the characteristics or attributes that we would like to have. We find a very interesting thing has come out of behavioral psychology. It simply says this, that if we feel in a certain way, we tend to act that way. Our inner feelings become our outward expression. However, if we do not feel enthusiastic, if we do not feel positive, if we do not feel confident, we can act our way into feeling in that if we pretend that we have those characteristics or attributes, within a few minutes, less than 10, as a matter of fact, usually about 5, if we pretend that we're happy and enthusiastic, within 5 to 10 minutes, we'll suddenly start to feel happy and enthusiastic. We will feel alert and alive. We will start to act in a vibrant fashion. So if we do not have the feeling, then pretend that you have the feeling, act the role, carry yourself as though you have self-confidence, enthusiasm, power, vitality, as though you're excited about what you're doing. And surprisingly enough, within less than a few minutes, you'll actually have the feelings that are consistent with that action. If you start off the day feeling unhappy or grumpy, pretend as though this is the brightest day of your life. And in a few minutes, you'll start finding yourself feeling that way. If ever you're talking to someone, for instance, who is talking on a subject that you don't find particularly interesting, and this is one of the great secrets of human relations, pretend as though it's the most fascinating subject in the world, and in less than 5 minutes, you will start to find yourself deeply engrossed and very interested in what the person is saying. If, for instance, you are studying a subject that is dry or of a technical nature that is required for some work that you're doing or for some course that you're trying to pass, and you do not enjoy the subject, pretend as though it's the most fascinating subject that you ever read. Lean over the book, lean into it, read it as though it was the most interesting thing that you ever picked up, and in less than 5 minutes, you will actually start to find yourself fascinated with the subject. This is a key secret of success in that even if we do not feel great about a particular subject, we can fool ourselves into it. We can act or pretend ourselves into feeling the way that we want to feel and act, and then it becomes our reality. Other things that we can do to improve our self-image are to verbalize in front of a mirror. Stand in front of a mirror clearly and talk to yourself positively. Smile. Tell yourself, I like myself. I like myself. I feel terrific. I feel terrific. I feel terrific. Do this over and over again in front of a mirror so the subconscious sees that positive picture and registers it, just as when we are all dressed up. And we are dressed up beautifully to go to a very, very important occasion. Do you notice what happens to our self-esteem when we stand in front of a mirror and we look at ourselves and we know that we look really terrific? And somebody comes along and says, boy, you look really great tonight. Do you notice how you feel inside when that happens? You can generate exactly that same feeling by standing in front of a mirror and psychologically building yourself up before you go off to work every day. It's a very powerful way of changing your self-image and of changing the way you feel about yourself. Now, if we take these methods together, we come up with a very interesting technique that was developed by a researcher and doctor named Johannes Schultz in 1905 in Germany. And it has been called and has come to be called autogenic conditioning and is one of the foremost techniques for bringing about rapid and permanent behavioral change and attitudinal change that's presently being used in the world. It's used extensively in sports. The East Germans developed autogenic conditioning to a science. Now, autogenic conditioning means self-conditioning. And the process of autogenic conditioning is tied in very closely to our principles of relaxation and concentration. And what you do in autogenic conditioning is you sit down and you close your eyes and you relax very deeply by inhaling and exhaling very deeply so your whole body goes limp. In the actual process of autogenic conditioning, you talk to your arms and your legs and your body and you talk them down to a deep state of relaxation, and then while you're completely relaxed and your mind has slowed down and you're in complete harmony and complete tune with yourself, you then affirm very clearly the goal that you want to accomplish or the performance that you want to improve and form a clear mental image. And in that state of deep relaxation, visualize yourself with those qualities and attributes or with the things that you want to be, have, or do. This is one of the fastest ways to bring them into reality. Remember, the more that you don't try, the more totally relaxed you are. When you use affirmation and visualization, the more rapidly it comes into your reality. It's very much a form of meditation, autogenic conditioning, and anybody can do it simply by taking and counting down. And the method that I use is to count down from 50 to 1. Close your eyes, relax, and take a deep breath and exhale on the count of 50. Take a deep breath and exhale 49. Take a deep breath and exhale 48. Take a deep breath and exhale 47, and continue counting down all the way to 1. And when you reach 1, keep inhaling and exhaling and just say 1, 1, 1, over and over. And once you find your mind completely relaxed and every muscle in your body has gone limp, then get a clear mental picture of your goal or your desired qualities or attributes. And just relax and enjoy and see that picture. See yourself performing in a manner consistent with your very best self. Do that once or twice a day in a state of deep relaxation, and you will very rapidly bring it into your reality. This is the very fastest way to use a combination of affirmation and visualization to bring about rapid behavioral or attitudinal changes. The very best time to begin using these methods is early in the morning. We find that the subconscious is more amenable to suggestion in the first hour of the day and in the last hour of the day than at any other time. And if you want to bring about rapid changes, remember the line from Henry Ward Beecher, who said, "The first hour is the rudder of the day." The first hour after we awake in the morning is the period of the day when we are the freshest and when our subconscious mind is more amenable to new programming than at any other time of the day. So when you get up in the morning, the first thing that you do is you get up and sit up clearly and strongly and say, "I feel terrific. I feel terrific. I feel terrific. I feel terrific. I feel terrific." The average person gets up thinking about how nice it would be to go back to bed. The average person gets up and starts already thinking before they're even out of bed about what time that they can go to bed that night. Whereas if you get up in the morning and you immediately start talking to yourself, and of course the best time to do this is the last thing before you go to bed at night. The last things that you say to yourself is, "I wake up in the morning feeling terrific. I wake up in the morning feeling terrific. I wake up in the morning feeling terrific." Let those be the last thoughts that you drop into the subconscious before you go off to sleep. The first thing you say when you get up in the morning is, "I feel terrific. I feel terrific. I feel terrific." And say it with feeling, say it with enthusiasm, say it as though you actually meant it, and you will find that it actually generates a feeling, a surge of energy and vitality through your whole body. Now, we know this is true because if ever you have had the experience of oversleeping for an appointment, of sleeping in, the alarm clock didn't wake you up, what's the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning? Is you get up, you get out of bed, and you start moving instantly. You don't start thinking, "Oh, geez, I'm tired, and geez, I'd like to go back to bed, and I can hardly wait until tomorrow." What you do is the instant you see that alarm clock, you give your subconscious a signal, all ahead full, you leap out of bed, and you immediately start moving. If you begin to program yourself to wake up like that every morning, the subconscious will wake you up with that same energy, that same vitality, and you'll find yourself on your way in a matter of seconds. The next thing that you do after you've gotten up is remember that this first hour is a golden opportunity for reprogramming your subconscious. And don't read the newspaper, don't watch television, don't listen to the radio in that first hour. Instead, take and spend 20 to 30 minutes reading in something highly inspirational, motivational, or educational. Spend the first 20 to 30 minutes of the day feeding your mind with rich mental protein. What has been called the 30 golden minutes in the morning. Use those minutes to program your mind and to read into your subconscious computer information consistent with the way you want the rest of the day to go. Now, after you have gotten up and got your mind started off properly, you can then read the newspaper and watch television, do whatever you want over breakfast, but don't waste those first 30 to 60 minutes filling your mind with negative garbage. From then on, all day long, make your life one continuous affirmation. Listen to tapes in your cars. I've come to the conclusion in speaking with thousands of high-performing men and women that if you are not listening to tapes in your car all the time, then you are just simply not serious about the development of your own potential. The most successful salespeople and business people I know do not even know if their car radios work, because in all the time that they have owned their car, they have never played the radio. From the time they get into the car to the time they get out, they have tapes playing. They have educational tapes and inspirational tapes and motivational tapes. They're continually feeding their mind with rich mental protein, with nutritious material consistent with the person that they want to be, with the attributes and qualities they want to have. So read, carry books in your briefcase, carry books in your purse, carry books in your car. Listen to tapes everywhere you go. I know many people now who carry educational tapes in their Sony Walkmans when they go jogging. They carry them when they're on airplanes. They carry them when they're in taxi cabs. They carry them in their briefcase to listen to them between meetings. And these are the people who are really moving ahead rapidly in their lives. Go on a 21-day positive mental attitude diet. Make the decision that for the next 3 weeks, 21 days, you're going to concentrate single-mindedly on developing one new positive habit pattern of thought. You're going to think and talk about yourself and visualize and imagine yourself with one new positive characteristic that you don't currently have. Don't try to change the whole world. Just try to change one thing at a time, recognizing that as long as you keep your mind focused on the person that you want to be, that you must become that person. As long as you keep your mind clearly focused on the goal that you want to accomplish, you must achieve that goal. Any goal that you can hold in your mind on a continuing basis, you can have. Any thought that you can hold in your mind or your imagination will begin to come into your reality. The only question is, do you have the tenacity? Do you have the self-discipline? Do you have the intensity of purpose to keep your mind focused on what you want to accomplish, or are you going to allow your mind to drift on to thinking of what you fear and thinking of your doubts? Let me just say a few things about the power of suggestion. We know that the most powerful influence on our actions and our behaviors in life is the power of love, that everything that we do in life is either to get love or to compensate for a lack of love. But we also know that the most powerful single influence on the people that we become is the power of suggestion, the power of the suggestive influences in the environment that surrounds us. We know that we are influenced by everything that we see, that we hear, that we read, everything that we watch on television, radio, newspaper, magazines. We are surrounded by a suggestive environment that dramatically affects how we think and feel about ourselves. And of all the elements in our suggestive environment, the single most influential part of our suggestive environment are the human beings with whom we habitually associate. Dr. David McClelland of Harvard found, after 25 years of research into achievement, that you could take people and give them the finest training in achievement qualities and characteristics. You could train them in overcoming negative emotions and in developing positive attitudes. You could train them in mental programming, and then you could train them in goal setting and creativity and problem solving and everything else. But if they went away from the training and back into an association with their previous reference group, if they began hanging out, if you like, with the old negative go-nowhere crowd, that alone was enough to preclude all possibility of them ever developing or reaching their full potential as a human being. The discovery and the understanding of the importance of our reference group, the people with whom we habitually associate and identify, the people from whom our role models are derived. Remember, the first reference group, of course, is the family. Then you have a reference group of the grade school. Then there's a reference group of our church. Then there's the reference group of the sports organizations we belong to. We have the reference group of the people we work with. And then we have the reference group of our friends and associates. But if we do not consciously, deliberately select and associate with a positive reference group of achievement-oriented individuals, if we continually stay with people who are going nowhere, that alone is enough to cut off all possibility of our ever becoming high-achieving men and women. The importance of the reference group cannot be stressed enough, that we must seriously consider what we want to accomplish with our lives and remember that birds of a feather flock together, and that if we associate on an ongoing basis with negative, pessimistic, cynical people who are going nowhere with their lives, that alone is enough to assure that we go nowhere with our lives. It's very important, if we are seriously concerned about becoming high achievers, that we make a conscious effort to begin to form new associations with positive men and women. Many people who have come out of our courses have gone back into negative family environments, negative work environments, negative social environments, and found that everything that they've gained from these courses are soon lost in a few weeks of associating with extremely negative people. So remember, make your life a total affirmation. From the time you get up in the morning, remember that everything that you think about is having an effect on the person that you are becoming. Remember that you are continually evolving and growing toward the realization of your ideal self, and that the more clear and vivid that ideal self is in your imagination, the more rapidly you become that person. The more you talk about and think about, visualize, affirm, and act the part of the person that you want to be, the more rapidly it comes into your reality. The more you talk to yourself on a systematic, purposeful, positive basis, the more likely it is that you will override all previous negative habit patterns and establish new positive habit patterns of thought and begin to act like the new person. The key to all of this is self-discipline. If you repeat these exercises over and over again, you must become the new person. That is the way we have become the people we are today, through repetition. We become the people we want to be tomorrow through repetition also. If we develop positive expectations and always look for the good in every situation, that also accelerates our progress. Refuse to accept any negatives about yourself in any case. If you make a mistake or if you fall back occasionally, don't worry about it. Throw it off. Live in the now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the past. Just concentrate on living in the now, one day at a time, keeping your mind focused on where you want to go and who you want to be today, this minute. And don't worry about anything else. Everything else will take care of itself. And finally, continually feed your mind with books, tapes, seminars, courses. Feed your mind with rich mental nutrition. Read, study, listen, associate with positive people. Program your mind continuously. Imagine that you are in training for a mental marathon. And just as if you were in training for a physical marathon, you would stretch and limber up and loosen and exercise and work out every day. In training for a mental marathon, you have to do exactly the same thing. Starting in the morning, straight through the day, you must continually be thinking about and talking about the person that you want to be with the qualities that you want to have. And finally, remember, all causation is mental. Everything that ever happens to you today, tomorrow, in the future, for the rest of your life, will be determined by the content of your conscious mind. And since the only thing in the world over which you have complete control is your thoughts, if you will keep just your thoughts consistent with what you want to be, have, and do, that alone is enough to enable you to control your destiny.
Before we leave the subject of mental programming, there are four techniques that we can use to dramatically bring about rapid personality change by suffusing, if you like, or imbuing the subconscious with a new series of ideas and pictures, and by programming our goals at a deep subconscious level. The first of them is what we call written programming technique. And written programming technique consists of writing out our goals very, very clearly in as specific and as precise language as possible, as often as possible. Every time we rewrite a goal, we program it deeper and deeper into the brain, and the subconscious goes to work to bring it into our reality. The very best time to write out your goals is first thing in the morning. Sit down and take 2 or 3 minutes to rewrite your major goals before you start the day. What this does is it programs them into your brain and makes you alert to opportunities and ideas to move toward the accomplishment of that goal throughout the entire day. The process is to sit down and write out the goal in the first person singular present tense as though you already had the goal. I have, I earn, I achieve, I do. And once you've written out the goal, then stop and take a few seconds and close your eyes and actually see yourself enjoying the goal. Get a clear mental picture of yourself with the goal attained exactly the way you want it. Another way that you can use this written programming technique is to change your behavior for the entire day by visualizing the upcoming events of the day and seeing very clearly how you wish to behave, how you wish to carry yourself during those events. Writing it out clearly. I act with complete confidence and assurance in this meeting this morning. And then closing your eyes and just taking a few seconds to get a very clear picture of yourself acting with complete assurance consistent with what you've written on the paper. This method of rewriting your goals every single morning will move you toward your goals faster than almost any method that I've ever come across in 20 years of research. The second mental programming technique is what we call quick programming technique and is used before any non-recurring event of importance. For instance, top salespeople, top executives, top performers in the arts, theater, entertainment, and public speakers use this method continually, and what it consists of is immediately prior to an upcoming event of importance in which you wish to carry yourself in a certain way or from which you want a particular result. Take a deep breath, exhale, relax, and affirm the ideal outcome. For instance, let us say that you have to make a sales presentation to an important prospect. You would take a deep breath, exhale, close your eyes, and affirm this presentation goes excellently. This is an excellent presentation. And as you say these words, see the presentation going successfully, see the other person responding to you positively, see yourself completely calm and relaxed and in control of the situation, and see the ideal result of the situation. The top salespeople that I know, the ones who make $200,000, $300,000, and $400,000, and $500,000 a year in net commissions in competitive industries, use this technique prior to every presentation, prior to every proposal, prior to every talk, prior to every meeting that is important. You can use it prior to a meeting with your boss to ask for a raise, prior to a meeting or a negotiation with your clients or your prospects, prior to a social occasion or a party. Whenever you think of the upcoming event, flash a clear mental picture on the screen of your mind of yourself completely relaxed, calm, competent, and in control in that situation, and you will find that the actual situation will correspond almost identically to that mental picture that you formed in your mind in advance. This is called mental rehearsal. It is one of the most important single abilities to develop in moving toward peak performance and high achievement. The ability to see every situation through from beginning to end in your mind before you actually get into the situation. Then your subconscious will give you the words, the actions, the gestures, the emotions, the responses that are exactly consistent with the mental picture that you've printed on your brain. The third programming technique is what we call the sports programming technique. This is one of the great breakthrough areas in sports in autogenic conditioning, and it entails training athletes to go through their entire sports routine in advance in their mind. We know that top golfers, top figure skaters, leading sports teams, and virtually all of the Olympic athletes are using these methods to plan and prepare and practice what they do over and over and over again before they actually get onto the competitive field. The way that we use this is, first of all, we know that we can develop an ability by imprinting the required behaviors and reactions on our brain. And the first thing we do is learn the sport or learn the motor activity well so that we understand what perfect performance is. The second step is to sit or lie down and relax deeply and get a clear mental picture of perfect performance. See yourself going through every single motion of the performance exactly the way you would like to do it in reality. One gentleman who is a skier, who's a client of ours, says that the way he uses this is he visualizes himself standing up, coming to a halt at the bottom of the ski slope. He knows if he can bring that visualization into reality, he will have skied well all the way down the slope. Other people use it to increase their speed in sports, to increase the distances that they jump, to increase their ability in hockey or golf or tennis. But it's very important that any sports activity, and this is a good way to train children, it's a good way to train young people, to use this ability of mental rehearsal and see the entire routine through from beginning to end in their minds before they actually attempt it physically. Now, the fourth programming technique is what we call the standard programming technique, and we use this to develop new habit patterns of thought and action, and to achieve our goals. And it consists very simply of writing out our goals in the form of present tense, personal, positive affirmations, writing them on a 5x8 card or on a piece of paper, and then sitting down and taking several deep breaths and relaxing so that the conscious mind drops into alpha, or a state of deep relaxation, then reading the goal off the card and repeating it 3 to 5 times. I earn X number of dollars per year. I earn X number of dollars per year. Or I weigh X number of pounds. Or I achieve a particular objective. Repeating it 3 to 5 times, and then closing your eyes, and as you relax, get a clear mental picture of yourself actually doing the thing, actually enjoying the result, actually experiencing the benefit of it, and create a mental picture that makes you feel good and makes you feel positive. Remember the degree of emotion that you mix with your affirmations and with your mental pictures determines the degree to which the subconscious mind is activated to go to work to bring those goals and objectives into reality in your life. These four methods are very, very powerful. The quick affirmation technique, the standard affirmation technique, the sports affirmation technique, and of course the written affirmation technique, each one of them used alone will accelerate you in the direction of your goals. Using all of them in combination on a regular basis will bring about rapid mental reprogramming, and we know that since we always act in a manner consistent with our mental programming, the sooner and the more rapidly we change that mental programming, the more rapidly we bring those goals and aspirations into reality in our day-to-day lives.